Prayer. Prayer can be kind of a challenge for a lot of us. You know, it's interesting because it really is a fascinating subject. A lot of really interesting ideas out there about prayer. In fact, I think it's interesting because you could almost tell a lot about a person by the kind of prayers they pray, can't you? You can also tell a lot about how a person views God by the kind of prayers they pray. Right? I mean, some people, their prayers indicate that God to them is sort of like a genie in a bottle, right? Sort of like Comcast on demand, right? God on demand. I want it now. I want it in my time. I want it in my way. Not your will be done. It's more, well, my will be done, and I'm serious about it, God. And then there's others who their prayers are sort of, well, they kind of reflect that God to them is sort of PO'd, angry, right? And so they approach God with tons of timidity and fear, and God, I don't even really deserve to be in your presence. Please don't strike me dead, okay? And then there's others who approach God, and their version of God or their image of God or whatever is like, he's my best friend, he's my buddy. And of course, there's others who see God as far away, and so they pray. They're not quite sure if he's listening. He might be busy, or he might be on vacation, but he's definitely far away, right? He's everywhere, but within reach. Prayer's a challenge, I think, for a lot of people, which part of the reason, I mean, this beta community that we're offering, I think is going to be really huge, helps us with prayer. But I think, some of the struggles people have with prayer is, how do I pray? How do I do it? What do I pray for? When do I pray? Is it okay to pray for myself? Or should I only pray for the needs of others? It's interesting because there are some people who, they find themselves on one end of the spectrum where they make their prayers all about themselves, the me, myself, and I, and all that. But then there's other people who end up on the other end of the spectrum who almost never pray for themselves. It's like their immediate reaction is, oh, no, that's selfish. I'm not going to pray for myself. I mean, and it's funny because there's actually some of you, and I know this because I've said, hey, how can I pray for you? And sometimes you get the response that goes, oh, no. I mean, they don't really dance around like that, but I don't need prayers. Just people out there, way worse situations than me. I don't really, seriously, I don't need a lot of prayer. Please direct those to someone else. I'm God has really blessed me. Well, today I want to talk a little bit about this. I want to talk about prayer, and specifically I want to talk about why I think praying for ourselves is not only very, very important, but also why praying for ourselves I think is absolutely vital. That's right. Why praying for ourselves is absolutely vital, and it's and absolutely important that we do in our lives on a regular basis. Now, the rhythm that I want to talk about today is a rhythm that's called petition. Would you say that with me? Petition. I know, on the surface, that sounds kind of boring. Petition. Are we going to sign something? No, not that kind. Last weekend, we talked about confession. How many of you were here last weekend? We talked about sin, talked about confession. Yep. And how many of you went home and confessed some things? And because I can tell, some of you look lighter today. You look less guilty, so that's good. Those of you, there's some of you who look extremely guilty, and I won't ask you to stand up. I'm joking. But anyway, download the podcast if you missed it. But what is petition? That's what we're going to talk about this weekend. Petition, I think in the most general sense, could be defined this way. We'll put it on the screen. Prayers addressed to God by me and for me. Prayers addressed to God by me and for me. Now, I know that there's some of you hear that and you immediately go, I don't know, it seems just kind of selfish to me. Well, interestingly enough, there is a prayer found in the Old Testament that a lot of people actually consider to be very selfish prayer. In fact, it's a story that in recent years it's been written about, it's been talked about, it's been preached about. In fact, roughly 10 years ago, there was a book written about this prayer, and it did really well. It brought in millions of dollars of sales, and unfortunately, I was not the author of the book. But it's a book by the name of The Prayer of Jabez. Maybe you've heard of it. How many heard of this book, Prayer of Jabez? Well, at the beginning of the book, the author kind of starts it out with this promise. Dear reader, I want to teach you how to pray a daring prayer that God always answers. Some of us, that sounds pretty good. To others of us who can be somewhat cynical, we go, come on. And it stirred up some controversy, because there were some people who said, oh, that's ridiculous. I mean, that sounds like a very selfish prayer. That sounds like a health and wealth gospel prayer, a name it and claim it, a blab it and grab it prayer. That sounds like a, you know, some sort of get rich quick scheme slash prayer or something, right? Well, if you know anything about the story, the book, it focuses on what you could call, I guess, this marginal character who sort of passes through. His name is Jabez. And here's what the scriptures tell us about Jabez. He has an interesting story. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. It says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. It's kind of unfair, don't you think? Verse 10, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Now, the whole point of this mini-narrative seems to focus on the identity of this guy named Jabez, his identity, right? We're told that he's honored, but that he has also been dishonored by his mother naming him Pain. Imagine that. Imagine your name being Pain. Right? I mean, if it was today, maybe, I don't know, some moms might call their kids what, like, headache. Headache, you're a headache, right? Right? Nausea. Oh, you make cramps. That's your name, cramps. So Jabez, he finds himself cursed with this very unflattering name, along with a mother who would even think about doing that to him. But what we see is that he's a guy who has no interest in becoming a victim of the mess that he was born into. And so what does he do? He prays. He petitions to God. He prays, and he asks God to help him to overcome the misfortune of his name. See, I think it's really not a selfish prayer so much, as much as it's really a prayer of, or a petition of, liberation, freedom. Right? I mean, if you think about it, it's like Jabez is saying, look, God, okay, evidently, I don't know how it went down, I don't really remember, but somehow I caused my mom a lot of pain when I was born, and so she, in response, she named me Pain, and I don't like it. Hurts. And I don't want there to be this chain reaction that's going to go on in my life. I don't want to allow what's happened to me. I don't want to pay that pain forward to others. It hurt other people like it's hurt me. And so God, would you please bless my life? Would you bless my territory? Would you enlarge my territory? Would your hand be on my life? Would you so that you could just stop this cycle, this pain, this cycle could be stopped. See, in petition, something really powerful occurs. I mean, what happens, I think, is just like in Jabez, what happens is we expand beyond our selfishness, being about ourselves, and we go into the lives of others. Right? We in some ways, I think we expand beyond pain, and we move into blessing in our lives, and our prayer becomes, God, would you bless me, not just so that I can say, hey, I'm blessed, and be happy. Would you bless me so that I can be a blessing to others? God, would you heal me? Not just physically, but inside. Would you heal my mind, my soul? Would you heal me emotionally? Not just so that I can feel better, but so that I can be a part of healing others. God, would you provide for me? Not just so I can be comfortable and all of that and feel better, but would you provide for me so that I can provide for others? See, if we approach it the same way that Jabez approaches prayer for himself, we actually, I think, should be encouraged to pray for ourselves. As a matter of fact, I'll take it even a step further and say that I think you and I, we have a responsibility to pray for ourselves. We have a responsibility, because if we don't, guess what will happen? If we don't pray for ourselves, you know what will happen? Eventually, our dependency is going to come right back to ourselves. I mean, think about it. If you feel like all of your happiness and safety in your life depends on you, okay? If you feel that way, well, guess what's going to happen? Over time, your focus is going to turn more and more and more, not on others who you've been called to bless, but your focus will turn more and more and more on yourself. You'll turn inward. Your life, my life, it'll become about, okay, God, me worrying about me for the sake of what? Well, for my sake, instead of for God's sake. See, that's why petition is so powerful. It keeps us moving away from self-reliance. It keeps us and moves us away from dependency on ourselves and into our trust with God. And so I think it's actually the opposite of selfish, right? The very thing we're afraid of it being selfish, it will do just the opposite. And if you pray with the same spirit that you see here with Jabez, it actually becomes not a prayer, man, that expands you. That expands your life, right? It's like when you bring your anxieties and your worries, when you bring those to God through the practice of petition, your life will grow, it'll expand. It'll suddenly then become me trusting God to take care of me so that I can focus on being a blessing to other people. See, it moves us from reliance on ourselves to reliance on God. It moves us from fear and anxiety about our lives to faith and trust in God's care of our lives. And I don't know about you, but can I tell you something? Anxiety, fear, worry, I really struggle with that. A lot more than I'd like to admit. You know, and it can be really tough. You know, there's a reason, I think for all of us, there's a reason why when you open up the scriptures, you see so many direct, really almost commands to us about these things. You know, if you think about one thing Jesus said one time in Matthew 6, he said, very, very simple, do not worry about your life. What do you think he meant by that? What could be the hermeneutical, homiletical, theological Grecian text of this? What could it mean? Oh, let's see. Do not worry about your life. Ah, yes. Oh, it says that. Yes. Okay, this is not rocket science. Do not worry about your life. And then in Philippians, the Apostle Paul says it this way. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Who's gotten there yet? I haven't. Do not be anxious about anything. Why? Because it makes you feel crappy? Why? No, that's not why. Because anxiety has the potential to flip you inside out. Anxiety is that black hole, right? That just sucks everything into itself. You are never more about yourself than when you are in the thick of anxiety. Your life's not about other people at that time, moment. It might be hoping that other people do this or that, but at the core of it, it's about you. Anxiety turns us to ourselves. So Paul, what does he go on to say? Do not be anxious about anything. So, good luck with that. I gotta go. No, do not be anxious about anything, but here's what he says. But in every situation, by prayer and, what's the word? Petition. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. He says, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything, okay? And if you find that you're getting anxious about things, you need to you need to present, you need to bring, you need to, I think maybe a better word is translate. You need to translate those anxieties into requests to God. And what will God do? Will he rearrange the cosmos for you so it all works out in your favor? Will he change everything going on around you and change everybody else? No. But he will change you. He'll change you. He goes on to say in verse 7, when you present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, he may not change your situation. He might. Sometimes he does. But he may not. But one thing he will do is he will change you. He will change you. And he will give you a sense of peace. This peace that he says it this way. He says that it transcends understanding. It goes way beyond what you can even comprehend. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever had peace in the middle of something major going on in your life or maybe someone else? Sometimes you see it more from the outside, right? When you're looking at other people and they're going through tragedy, they're going just through something major, and you see that there's struggle, there's pain, there's hurt, but there's still this underlying sense of peace, and you kind of scratch your head and go, I can't explain it. I don't understand this. That's what he's talking about. See, something really powerful happens when we translate our anxieties into requests to God. What happens is, we do? We disempower our anxieties and we empower ourselves. Right? We take energy, we take strength and power away from our anxiety, and God brings into us strength and power. In his book, Naked Spirituality, Brian McLaren, he says it so well. I just love this. He says two things happen when we petition. He says this. Through petition, we reframe the situation. Our situations need to be reframed often, don't they? We reframe our situation, and secondly, we rename our need. Now think about this. Through petition, we, say it with me, ready? Reframe the situation and rename our need. Think about what anxiety does. We all struggle with anxiety, some degree. Some of us worse than others. Anxiety is that fear, right? It's that worry about what could happen. We don't know if it will, but we're afraid because it might. And so what happens when we get into anxiety? We start asking a lot of questions, right? Well, what if? What if? What if I can't? What if I can't pay my mortgage again this month? Or what if I don't get that promotion that I've worked so hard for? I need that because the only way I'm going to be able to take care of this. Or, you know, what is the doctor going to say? He took these tests and I'm scared. What's he going to say to me? This person I love. See, anxiety, am I going to lose my home? If I lose my home, what's going to happen? I have kids, man. I never thought I'd be in this situation. What about my teenage son, my teenage daughter? Will they ever be normal again? Well, look at yourself. The answer is no. You never went back. See, anxiety, what it does is it tempts us to catastrophize our situation, doesn't it? It tempts us to inflate every risk and make it into this major cataclysmic event. And when we start getting in that place of major anxiety, you know what happens, right? You either freeze up, paralyzed, or you run, Forrest, run, or you become aggressive, angry, right? We shrink into our primitive mind, and so we either fight, flee, or freeze, right? Something happens, and I mean, it's like through petition, though, when we bring these anxieties to God, we reframe them into opportunities for trust, into opportunities for growth, into opportunities for development. So it also, though, gives us an opportunity to rename our need. Sometimes we think we know what we need, but we oftentimes don't, right? Right? We think we know. Do you know how blessed we are that God does not answer all of our prayer requests? Watch the movie Evan Almighty, right? So when you're feeling this major anxiety and you start slipping into reptilian brain mode, all right, and you have this feeling that I must vanquish all who oppose or threaten me, you turn into Braveheart or something, right? Well, see, through petition, instead, you can request compassion to understand your enemies. You can request mercy to forgive them. You can request wisdom on how to communicate with them. You can request determination to work towards reconciliation with them. Or if our brains tell us that we have to run, flee, it's so stressful, I just got to go, I just got to get out of here. But instead, with petition, we can request and we can ask God for patience to be able to endure the situation. Right? We can request insight into why we are so reactive at times in our lives. We can request creativity to help us transform our response into something more productive. Our brains might tell us we need to freeze up. This happens sometimes when people are experiencing anxiety because there's a relational problem or they they've got to have a really tough conversation or they've made someone mad. Oftentimes they just freeze up or they hide, right? It's like somebody's mad at me. I better get my head down. I better just get away. I better stay out of sight. I think they go to the 11 o'clock service, so I think I better go to Saturday night because if Scott preaches late, then I'll see them when they're showing up for 11. So Saturday, I got to go Saturday night. And then you show up Saturday night and you're like, oh my God, they're here. Do we have a prayer room? Do we have any, where can I hide, right? But instead, with petition, we can ask for courage to stand tall. We can ask for humility to accept being misunderstood. We can ask for resilience to get back up after being knocked down. Now, we've been giving you words throughout this series that will help bring these and help you with these rhythms. One of the simplest words that will help us bring our petition to God is the very simple word, help. Help. Would you say that with me? Help. Say it again. Help. Turn to the person next to you, say, help. Tell them, help. Help me. I don't know why. I just need a lot of help. If we're struggling with anxiety, we can take that word help, we can bring it before God, and we can allow that one simple word to help bring focus and clarity into the midst of that chaos that's happening in here. And then once that chaos begins to settle down, then you can add to that word help. You can add other words to it. You can get more specific and start naming the words that you need God to do for you in that moment. Maybe at times for you, sometimes you don't have the energy to pray big, lengthy, long, fancy King James Version prayers. You know, God's not looking for that, though. Sometimes it's just one word, help. 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 Help me. God, I need guidance. I don't know what to do. God, I need patience. My kids are driving me nuts. I want to strangle them. I want to put them up for adoption. God, give me peace. Give me patience. God, I need courage. Help. Give me courage. I've got this conversation I don't want to have, and I'm scared. I don't know how they're going to respond. God, I've got to confront this. Give me courage. Boundaries, whatever, my mercy. God, give me mercy. Help. Healing. God, this hurts. This pain hurts so bad. Help. Healing. God, just calm me. What is it? Freedom. Give me wisdom. Give me your peace. bring our anxieties to Him. Now, there are other struggles that drive us to petition. How about when we've been hurt or we've been wounded by other people? Do you know what that feels like? Last week, we talked about confession, and confession deals with the times that we do wrong to others. Petition, when it's related to our hurts, it deals with the times that others hurt us. We all know what that's like. We have all been hurt. We have all experienced pain. Whether it's pain that comes from another person who maybe, they've insulted us, their words, their actions. Maybe they've taken us for granted. They've presumed upon us, or they maybe betrayed us, stabbed you in the back. Maybe it was abuse. You were abandoned. Who knows? I mean, we've all experienced it. Maybe it's someone else you love that's been hurt, and just seeing them in pain has started bringing pain into your own life. Pain's a part of life. We know that. It's a part of life. It reminds us that this world is broken, man. But pain is something that God cares so deeply about. He cares. He cares about your pain. He cares. And so He invites us to go to Him with our pain. To name that pain, to name that hurt, He invites us to hold it in His presence and to begin the process of healing, process of transformation. This is so important. We've all heard that saying, hurt people, right? And there's some truth in that, but here's what you got to understand. Listen, it's not the hurt itself that hurts other people. Okay? What hurts other people, what tends to hurt other people, is the byproduct of what happens when you try to pretend that that pain is not there. What hurts other people is what happens and the byproduct of what happens when you ignore your pain, when you try to hide your pain, when you try to cover your pain up. What comes out of that can bring great pain. Not just to ourselves, but to others. Father Richard Rohr, he says this, such a great quote, so true. Pain that isn't processed is passed on. Pain that isn't transformed is transmitted. It's true. Hurt people can most certainly hurt other people. But it's also true that hurt people who take their hurt and take their pain into the presence of God and allow Him to work in and through that pain can actually be a part of just the opposite. Instead of hurting people, they can actually find themselves partnering and joining with God in the healing of others. But you've got to work through your pain. You've got to work through your pain. That could be hard. Oh, it's hard. It's hard to just stop and allow yourself to sit in your pain. It's hard. And it's hard just to let yourself be there and not to actually allow your pain to actually catch up with you. I really struggle with this. One God's been showing me so much recently that I tend to move ahead so quickly out of my pain. I move on so fast because I'm just a very positive person. There's good to that, but the bad side of that is that sometimes you just move too quick. You compartmentalize or whatever, and so my tendency is to move so quickly and because I want to feel better. I don't like pain. Like how I feel when there's pain. And so there's pain in my life that I haven't faced. There's pain in my life that I haven't held. God's dealing with me on that. And He's beginning to help me with that. And he's giving me courage to deal with that. And he's showing me how to take that, how just to stop and how to be still and just to sit in that awkwardness and how to just be in my pain. How just to listen to my pain and how to take that pain and just give it to him. I said, God, here. This is what God is inviting us to do. Same thing that he invites us to do with our anxieties, he invites us to do that with our pain, to translate our pain into requests. God, help. I need your comfort. God, help. I just need your encouragement. I need your reassurance. I need your vindication. I need appreciation, acknowledgement. See, here's the thing that's important, though. When we do this, it's not about naming what we need the person who wronged us to do. Did you hear me? It's not about naming what we think the person who hurt us ought to do. It's so easy to do that, but that's not what this is about. Because you know what? If you go down that road, man, if you start focusing on what we think the antagonist ought to do because they hurt us, you know what we do? We unintentionally arm the antagonist with more power to hurt us even more. It backfires. We sabotage ourselves. Whereas when we turn to God, when we turn to him in this prayer of petition, we're turning away from our antagonist and we are turning to God. And we are focusing on what we need God to do for us, opening our hearts. We're opening our hearts to receive healing from his Spirit, who is always, always present. Someone once said, revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. Worker, worker. I hate sharing those kind of quotes because they sound so cliche, but there's truth to that, though, isn't it? You know, it might sound lame, but it's true. Revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. And so along, I think, with bringing our anxiety and we bring our pain, we also can bring our disappointments. Disappointments. See, anxieties focus on what might happen in our lives. Hurts focus on what has happened. Disappointments focus on what has not happened. Have you ever been disappointed? Have you? I mean, have you ever felt like God didn't answer a prayer? You prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed. But there was no answer. You ever get disappointed that you didn't get that job that you hoped for and you prayed so hard for and you worked hard to get it? You ever been disappointed because you had hope for a relationship that it would lead into marriage, that something happened? You hoped that God, how about this one? You hoped that God would heal your loved one. You pray. You did all of the things you thought you were supposed to do, but they died. Have you ever been disappointed? Have you ever brought those disappointments to God? A lot of people don't. I see it as a pastor all the time, man. A lot of people don't do it, man. They don't bring their disappointments to God. And you know what the problem with that is? Is more often than not, when you don't bring your disappointments to God, you know what you end up doing? You end up blaming God. You end up blaming God. And you know what happens when you start blaming God? See, this is a spiral. When you start blaming God, then what happens is you end up alienating yourself from the best hope of comfort and strength that there is. You start blaming God, then you're angry with God. And if you don't trust God, if you don't trust him, why would you speak to him? Why would you look to him? It's okay to be honest with God. It's okay. It's okay. And so again, just like we do with anxiety and hurt, disappointment, we take these disappointments, we give them a name, right? We make them a request. We translate them into a request. The psalmist David did this often. And you just feel his pain. You ever read the when you read through the Psalms, you go, man, I can relate to this character. Man, listen to this. Psalm chapter 55. He cries out to God. He says, listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my cry for help. Please listen and answer me, for I am overwhelmed by my troubles. My enemies shout at me, making loud and wicked threats. They bring trouble on me and angrily hunt me down. My heart pounds in my chest. It's anxiety, my friend. The terror of death assaults me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me. I can't stop shaking. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. Then I could fly away and rest. I would fly far away to the quiet of the wilderness. You ever wish you had wings like a bird? I sure have. Oh God, make me a bird so I can fly far, far from here. Do you feel, though, his anxiety in that prayer? Do you feel his pain? Do you feel his disappointment? Well, what's interesting is if you keep reading in that same chapter, there's this turn that happens. And he says this in verse 16. But, in other words, God, if you could make me a bird, I'd just get out of here. But I know I can't. So he says, I will call on God, and the Lord will rescue me. Morning, noon, and night, I cry out in my distress, and the Lord hears my voice. It's hard to get to the second part if you're not willing to deal with the first part. See, we want to get to the second half of the prayer. But God, I put my trust in you. But God, I know you'll come through. But we don't want to deal with the pain and be honest about the pain and the hurt that needs to come out in that first part. And so we have to bring these to God. I remember 7 years ago this month when my dad died, very sudden. You know, so you guys know this, some of you know the story, most of you do. He was 60 years old, seemed to be doing so well. And my mom comes home one day, and he's on the floor. Died like that. Massive heart attack. No chance to say goodbye, no last word, nothing. Just someone taken out of your life just like that. Some of you have been through that. And I remember getting that phone call. I was driving. And, you know, my mom called, and you just tell right away. I instantly knew what happened before she even got it out of her mouth. I remember that day was just hell. And I remember, you know, think about leading the church then through something like that, and you're thinking about people who, you know, you're trying to grieve, but you're just trying to make sense of it all. And I remember I went home that night, and I poured a glass of wine. I wanted to drink the whole bottle, but I just poured a glass. But then I went upstairs, and I I took a bubble bath. And I feel like I just need to say to you, so you know, that I don't really do that often. That, I mean, it is enjoyable, but I mean, I so anyway, and I just feel really awkward right now because I feel like the more I talk about it, you're like picturing this now. And don't do that, please. For your own sake, don't do that, okay? And so I sat there in the tub. It was turn the lights out. And I just had a conversation with God. And I remember just sitting there just going, God, I don't even really know what to say. This sucks. Sucks. I feel so angry. Not at you, really. But I just feel so angry that he's gone. I feel so sad. I don't know what I'm going to do. I sat there for just a period of time, and finally the only thing I could really, what that really led me to was not this elaborate prayer, but just these words. I said, God, I just want you to know that I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. It's all I got. Trust you. Maybe for some of you, you need to go have that kind of conversation. Maybe you need to have a bubble bath. Maybe you need to say, God, I didn't get that job. I am so disappointed. God, my marriage, I'm so disappointed how that turned out. I really hoped for this. I feel crushed. I feel disappointed. Because you know where that'll take you? It'll take you to that second part. But I'm not going to give up. I feel like I kind of want to, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to trust you. And so help, God, help. Give me strength, okay? Give me strength. I'm just going to think about it one day at a time. Just give me strength. See, whether we're dealing with our anxieties, our wounds, our disappointments, our pain, whatever it is, our struggles, there's so much power in reaching out with that simple word, help, help, help. That's how we enter into this rhythm of petition, help. And it's this place that we can expand beyond our own capacities, our own resources, and tap into the resources and capacities of our Creator, our God, who cares so much. So what do you do with all this? I don't know. It's up to you. My hope is you'll take it home. You'll do something with it. Sometimes people come up to me after service. They say, Scott, it's a good message, man. You made me laugh. You made me cry. One lady, she came up to me today. She showed me in her, she rolls her sleeve up. She keeps tissues right in here. She says, look, that's for when you make me cry. I said, I'm glad that's where you keep them. And people sometimes will say, man, this guy, you really hit the nail on the head. Man, you nailed me, man. Are you spying on me during the week? What's going on? How do you know? And I always appreciate that. But can I tell you what really, 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 really just makes me feel like that I've given my life to something worthwhile? Is when someone comes to me and they say, it works. It works. I tried it. I tried it. I'm trying to apply what you've said and what you've given us. I'm eating it. I'm chewing it. I'm digesting it. And I certainly don't have it down yet, Scott, but man, I'm starting to think differently. I'm starting to see my life take a turn. See, if all this is we come together like this and we're going to just sing some songs and we're going to laugh and we're going to cry and we're going to get maybe some goosebumps once in a while and then we're going to go home and do nothing with it, hey, let's just make this our last one. I don't want to give my life to that. Are you kidding? Man, if each of us can just pick that fork up, put the food in our mouth, we'll serve it to you. We'll lay it out for you. We'll give, make it as good as we can. But you gotta eat it, man. You gotta swallow it. You gotta start to digest. You gotta let it do its work in you. And man, if each of us can do it. Even if I don't care how many, if it's just a few of us, fine, we'll just make it smaller then, all right? But if you do that, I will give my life to that. And so it's up to you. And so I can't just say that and then say, so go figure it out. I have an assignment for you. Go ahead, guys, hand those out real quick. I know some of you are like, dang it, homework. But this is a tool for you because, right? I mean, if I just say, go do this, and it's not so great. So I've got an assignment, and they're going to hand these out. Let's just wait a second and while they hand these out real quick, and we'll dive into this real fast. You know, can I get one of those too, Jimmy? Thanks, bro. I know we went way over. It's like 12:18, but Steak and Shake will still be open. This is important. So I don't want you to really start doing this right now because you won't get very much of it done, and then you'll feel like you did enough to justify not doing it later. So I want you just to look at it, but I really want you to take it home. And what some of you might need to do is just take some. Listen, some of you, you're at a place, you need to take a day off work. Right? We take work off for all kinds of things. When's the last time you took it off for something like this? So maybe it's taking this and in one day doing this, or that could get kind of heavy. You might want to break it up, but maybe it's taking one each day or something like that. But did everybody get one? If anyone needs one, would you raise your hand real high? I know they're still getting some of you in the back here. But is there anyone else who needs one of these? We'll put these online as well, and that way you can download a PDF or something. But here's what it says. Spend some time thinking about areas of your life where you are currently feeling anxiety, pain, and disappointment. Take your time. Don't rush through this, guys. Be specific, okay? Don't be afraid of creating a list. So I know some of you are going, this ain't enough room, man. So if you take five if you need them, whatever. But go get therapy too, because you might need that. That's a lot. I could probably fill up three of you though, so anyway. Then two things to do. Reframe the situation by turning your list into requests of petition to God using the word help. Just list them out. There's no rules to do it however you want, but just list it out. Ask God to help. And then rename your need by moving beyond the word help and getting specific in your request to God. And so tell God what you need. Guidance, patience, courage, wisdom, peace. Reframe your need. You might think you need one thing. God, I just need you to show me. Well, no, maybe he will, maybe he won't. But what you really need is to help him give you the faith to trust. Right? God, I'm always late. Getting somewhere, I need you to get control of the traffic for me more. No. Reframe that baby, okay? Rename your need by moving beyond the word help and getting specific. Anxiety, take time to think through that. What might happen? Pain, what has happened? Disappointment, what has not happened? This will help you. I really, really, really hope you'll take this and use it. Because imagine the flip side of all this. Put your papers down for a second. Imagine the flip side of this. Okay, imagine the other option. What's the other option, huh? Instead of naming your anxieties and your pain and your disappointments, and instead of turning these into requests to God, what is your other option? Well, it's to let other forces take control of your life, right? To let other forces drive what's happening here. I mean, think about this. What if instead it's self-protection instead of guidance? Where will that take you? Revenge instead of patience. Panic instead of courage. Retreat instead of resilience. Self-hatred instead of mercy. Blame instead of compassion. Fantasy instead of determination. Despair instead of healing. Bitterness instead of peace. Resignation instead of resiliency. That's the other option. so thankfully, as we make this a part of our rhythm, daily, weekly, monthly, spiritual, you know what you'll discover? You'll discover that this beautiful connection, this sacred connection, can actually grow stronger through, not in spite of, but through your wounds, your anxieties, your disappointments, your struggles, your weaknesses. And if that happens, well, if that happens, then we can echo what the Apostle Paul said. And I'll close with this. He said, "If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness.' So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." Let's embrace that. Would you bow your heads with me? God, thank you for where you're taking us in this series. It's turning out different than I would have ever thought. But I think what you're doing, it's going back to that image I had a few months ago of how I think you're reaching deep down inside of us and you are pulling out those roots, those unhealthy roots out of our lives, because there's something really, really that you want to grow in that space. And so, God, we present ourselves to you. We present ourselves to you, God. We bring to you in petition, we bring to you our anxieties, those things that we worry about that could happen, might happen. We bring to you our pain, our hurt, our wounds, the things that have happened. And we bring to you our disappointments, the things that, well, have not happened. We bring them to you because you are safe and you are good. And just like we bring our sin to you, we bring our brokenness to you. We don't hide it. We don't wear a mask. We don't pretend it's not there. We don't ignore it. Instead, God, we bring it to you knowing that you are so, so good. So we lean into your strength and your ability. God, give us the courage to take this, and to live it, to apply it. And as we do that, God, we trust that you will give us more and more and more of your strength and your ability. So God, before we go, we sing the song that we sang earlier, just and maybe even as we sing this, guys, let's make this, I don't know, maybe just like let something snap inside of you, something good snap inside of you. Let it snap inside of you that says, "Yes, God, this is right, and I'm going forward."